these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for bringing us all here together, Lord. We bless your precious name tonight, God. And we just ask you, Lord, to just move within our hearts, God. Father, do something special tonight, my God. Father, do the miraculous here tonight. We just want to give you glory. Bless this word, my God. Set me aside, Lord. I don't want any of me, God, in this. Settle my spirit, God, and just do what you want to do tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, praise the Lord. So, like I said, I want to talk to you about failure. And a little more importantly, about our relationship with failure. Believe it or not, we have a relationship with failure. Every single person in this place has experienced massive failure in their life at some time or another. Somebody say amen. Everyone. Nobody is exempt from experiencing failure. I know I've experienced failure in many different areas of my life, and I know that many of you can identify here tonight. And the relationship that we have with failure is an intimate one, whether we know it or not. It's an intimate relationship. Our future victories actually depend in large part on how we see this relationship that we have with failure right now. I'll come back to our opening verse in just a moment. But since we're on the subject of failure, I'd like to look at the life and the character of King David in the Bible. And though many people would say that King David is a contradiction in action. What do I mean by that? Well, there were many kings in the history of Israel. Some of those kings were horrible kings, and some of those kings were okay kings. But if you were to ask anyone of Jewish descent, who is the greatest king in the history of Israel, dollars to bucks, I can almost guarantee that you will hear the same response from almost everyone: King David. He is revered in Jewish custom and tradition as the greatest king in Israel's history. So what are some of the reasons David was such an amazing king, revered by so many to this day? Well, David is famous for killing the giant Philistine named Goliath. How many know the story of David and Goliath? Before he killed Goliath, he killed the lion and he killed the bear. After David became king, he showed mercy. In fact, he sought Mephibosheth, a surviving member of Saul's family, gave him his family land and welcomed him in at his own dinner table. David was known as a great warrior, mighty in battle and fierce on the field. David was a composer. David was a conqueror. David was a unifier. David was an organizer. David is known and famous for being a man after God's own heart. David unified the 12 tribes of Israel. David was gracious. David spared Saul's life not once but twice. David welcomed Abner when he defected from the king Ishbosheth. David was uncommonly patient with Shimei's spiteful cursing. David pardoned those who rebelled against him during Absalom's rebellion. David was such a great king that Jesus himself is called the Son of David. These are some amazing accomplishments, most of which no other man that has or ever will walk the face of the earth be able to do such great exploits. So, once again, I ask, so what is it that made this man so great? How was it that David became such an amazing king over Israel and accomplished such great exploits? Well, I can tell you this. It has a lot less to do with the exploits that I just mentioned and much more to do with his failures. He was a failure just like you and I. Can I hear somebody say amen? So let's quickly look at a couple of David's failures before we move on. The sin with Bathsheba, we all know the story. And what happened after the sin with Bathsheba was the murder of Uriah and the ensuing cover-up to follow. We find that in 2 Samuel. The unauthorized census. Do you remember the unauthorized census, which was so deplorable and so misguided that even Joab, the commander of the army, questions David's motives? He said, "What are you doing? Stop, David." 70,000 people died as a result of David taking an unauthorized census. Talk about failure. Hello, somebody. If you had 70,000 people under your care and they all died because of a mistake that you or I made, that's some serious failure. So we're looking at David's failures. It's important to ask why David fell in these two situations. Because the reasons why are even greater failures than the resulting outcomes. Number one, spiritual pride. King David? Spiritual pride. I know nobody in here has ever been affected by spiritual pride. Come on, somebody. Spiritual pride. He was flattering himself over his accomplishments. He had just defeated some armies. He had just united Israel. I mean, man, he was sitting pretty. Hello, somebody. He just did some great things and accomplished some great exploits. How many have ever felt pretty good after you've done some big things? Flattered yourself a little bit. Attaboy. Number two, a lack of trust in God. He was to trust God, not numbers. To trust God, not numbers. Number three, indifference, which is a lack of interest in or a concern about something, an indifferent attitude or feeling, which is basically to say, I can have it either way. Or maybe he's indifferent about his relationship with God. Has anybody felt indifferent about your relationship with God from time to time? When it becomes easy to get up, hello, and not seek the face of God. When it becomes easy to get up and not seek the presence of God. Or to read the word of God. I can guarantee that if you think back to any time in your life, maybe when you have fallen into some kind of sin, whatever that sin may be, you can always trace it back to becoming indifferent with your relationship with God. Maybe sitting in front of the TV became more important than spending time with the Lord. You ever thought about what you're taking into your mind and into your spirit and into your heart when you're like a couch potato sitting in front of the TV? Hello, somebody. You become indifferent with your relationship with the Lord. He had a lack of interest or concern about his relationship with God, and that came from his spiritual pride. I can do it on my own. Number four, he became comfortable. This goes right along with indifference because after some long, hard-fought victories, he was at ease. He could take a break. It's like in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he took a little break. The Bible says that it was springtime, and in the springtime, that's when the kings went out to war. David didn't go out to war. David was the king. David sent Joab and the rest of the army out to war while he sat back in the palace drinking lemonade under the terebinth tree. Right? And because he became indifferent in that season with his relationship with the Lord, his conviction for spending time with God had kind of decreased, so to speak. It was easy for him to look over off the balcony and to see Bathsheba bathing. The sin became easy. How many know sin becomes easy when your relationship with God isn't where it's supposed to be? It's not hard to sin when you're not tapped into the power source. So we can identify with David here. Can somebody raise their hand and say, I can identify with David here? So I shared all that with you today to reveal to you the secret to David's success and to his greatness. Whoa, all that? You just said all that and you're going to talk about David's success. Yeah, hold on. As well as our success and our greatness in God. And it's really no secret at all. But if you haven't figured it out, I'm going to let you know right now. One of the greatest secrets to our success in God is our failure. Most people in the world we live in today have a negative relationship with failure. But failure is a massive part of success, growth, and development in God. It's been said that we must become comfortable with failure. It's also been said that we must actually seek out failure because failure is where all the lessons are. I go to the gym. Does anybody go to the gym? Anybody in here work out? But when we go to the gym and we work out, we're seeking failure. We're intentionally taking our muscle to the point of failure because that's where the adaptation takes place. That's where the growth is. The great men and women of God that we look up to have failed so much more than they have succeeded. Easy there, man. But they learned, as we must learn, to extract the lessons and the wisdom from their failures to push their way to the next level in God's purpose for their life. Pastor Sonny, you guys remember the story with Pastor Sonny when he opened a church in New York? Or he tried to open a church in New York and he kind of misunderstood the voice of God. Has anybody ever misunderstood the voice of God? Usually that's because we got too many other voices talking at the same time. Come on, somebody. We can misunderstand the voice of God. When we misunderstand the voice of God, we fail. Because we find ourselves in places that we're not supposed to be in. Can I hear somebody say amen? Pastor Sonny found himself in a place he wasn't supposed to be in, went to New York, and then what happened? He ended up where? Oh, boy. L.A. Anybody remember Vision 2000? Vision 2000, I'm referencing our leaders because they've learned from their failures and their mistakes. Right? They've set an example. Somebody said that it's easier to learn from other people's mistakes than it is to learn from our own. Vision 2000. Pastor Sonny talks about it even today. He said I stuck my foot in my mouth with Vision 2000, right? Sometimes we can misunderstand the voice of the Lord, but failure helps us recognize the areas in our life where we need to evolve. How many need to evolve here tonight? So it's also been said to fail early, fail often, but fail forward. It's been said, and it's true. The issue with some of us here today is that we're holding on to our past failures. And when we hold on to our past failures, it is impossible for us to see the lessons that God wants us to see and to extract those lessons from those failures. We have to let go of the failure and then take a step back in order to see the benefits of those failures. When we're holding on to something too tight, it's impossible to see the entire picture. We can only see what's right in front of our face. Is anybody holding on to some failures here tonight? I want you to know that today, your biggest failures are nothing more than setups for your biggest successes when they're properly viewed. But they have to be properly viewed. When we're holding on to failure too tight, we can't let go of the past. It's impossible. You gotta be able to, it's like if you're hugging somebody and you're trying to see their entire body. You're holding on to them so tight you can't see the entire body. You have to be able to take a step back so that you can see the entire picture. Letting go of the failures to see the benefits of those failures, to learn and to grow and to develop. But when you're holding on to it, all it does is what? Causes pain. We hold on to failure, it just causes pain. It's torment, it's torture. It creates a sense of fear and an inability to move forward for God. Some of you are stuck here tonight because you can't let go of past failures. I want to tell you something about pain that's been caused by your past failure. I'm going to talk about my pain just for a moment. See, I could talk to you about failure. You want to know why? I've failed a lot. I have failed at a lot of things. And I know what it feels like to hurt. I know what pain feels like. I know what it feels like to not be able to move on from a failure. And then I know what it feels like for the anointing of God to break the bondage that is keeping me depressed in that failure. Can I hear somebody say amen? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight about my failures. And my prayer tonight is that somebody, anybody in this place will be able to identify, because my prayer is that, because if we don't get breakthroughs as individuals, we can not really break through corporately as a church. We have to get breakthroughs as individuals to move forward for God. Can I hear somebody say amen? But like I said, I failed at a lot of things. I failed at being a cyclist. I failed at being a football player. I failed at being a father. I failed at being a son. I have a failed marriage. And I failed in ministry. I failed at all of these things that I was supposed to achieve greatness in. Can I hear somebody say amen? But I became a failure. I even failed at being a drug addict. I think probably the worst pain that I experienced is because, you know, when you're completely and totally sold out for something, like this ministry, it's your entire life, right? Man, you're putting in 150 because this is what you do, right? This is what we do, and nobody's going to take this from us. Hello, somebody. Right, and I'm putting in 150, and, you know, I could talk about it now, but I was married in ministry, and that marriage collapsed, fell apart, and as a Christian, I experienced more pain in my life than I ever experienced in the world. Whoa, that doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense when I look at it correctly, when my perspective is in the right place. But because of my failed marriage, because of my failed ministry, because of that pain that I was experiencing, because I failed at those things for years, I allowed the bondage of failure to keep me from being everything that God had called and created me to be. Can I hear somebody say amen? See, and here tonight, somebody, that's you tonight. That's somebody in here tonight. And it doesn't have to be failures like that. But some of us are stuck on our failures because we refuse to engage in a positive relationship with our mistakes. Your mistakes should be stepping stones towards our future. Can I hear somebody say amen? Remember that our pain has great purpose in reference to our future. All that pain that you experienced or are experiencing now has purpose. It's not happening for no reason. You're not hurting just because. God isn't a big kid with an ant farm that just wants to mess with you. Right? Everything he does deliberately. He's very intentional with each and every one of our lives, even though we might not be able to figure out how he can do that. He is. Right? He's everywhere. He's everywhere all the time. He knows exactly what everything that's going on in each and every one of our lives, and he has purpose for our pain. It's been said that God wounds deeply those who he intends to use greatly. Right? So don't trip if you're feeling an uncomfortable amount of pain in your life, because it has purpose. When I look back at my failures now, I mean, for so many years, I couldn't get over. I mean, Pastor Manny and Pastor Doug, they saw me from afar, just, man, messed up. Messed up because of the failures that I went through, and the pain was deep. You know, and I've testified about it before, is I never thought I'd be able to serve God in this ministry again. Right? But God has a way of getting a hold of his children, of those who he has called, right? And that goes for each and every one of us in here tonight. Right? I mean, there's a time where God will turn you to kind of let you go. Right, you get hurt, and God will let you go, because in those seasons, you know, God spoke to me in those seasons where I was away from him, so to speak. Maybe you don't feel God, but God's still speaking, and he's still moving. Can I hear somebody say amen? Back to our opening text, quickly. I've got a few minutes. It said, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, which means I am convinced. I'm convinced. Are you convinced tonight that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? I shared the scripture again because I want you to know one thing tonight. Is that God's love for us is directly correlated and engaged to his purpose for our lives. And because nothing that we go through can separate us from the love of God, also nothing that we go through can separate us from the purpose of God that he has for our lives, because God's love is directly connected to his purpose. Somebody say amen. I'm going to go ahead and call the worship team right now. I'm going to close in just a minute. In 1 Chronicles 21, it gives us the same account that we read in 2 Samuel 24 of the census that David illegally took. The unauthorized census of Israel. And in the parallel account, it gives us information in 1 Chronicles 21 that it doesn't give us in 2 Samuel 24. It tells us in this account that it was Satan himself that stood up against Israel and influenced David to number the people. Now, you and I both know that nothing happens without God's approval. And being that God was angry, God gave the okay for the adversary to influence David to number the people. I'm sharing that with you to say that everything happens because God has purpose behind it. God had purpose behind David numbering the people. God had purpose behind 70,000 people being killed. Can I hear somebody say amen? God has purpose for everything that he does. There is purpose and there are lessons in our failures. Every time we fail, we are supposed to learn that we can grow so that we can develop. So that we can evolve, so that we can change, so that we can obtain everything that God has for our lives. Some of us are not being successful in God because we refuse to fail. You're afraid to fail. Not only do you fear failing, but you fear fear itself. I don't think anybody actually fears success. I don't fear success. Bring it. Right? I want it. Give me the success. I'm not afraid of that. I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid of the fear.
We fear fear itself for no reason whatsoever.
Before I came to share this message tonight, I was feeling fear and I got mad at myself. Why am I being afraid when God has called me to do this? For what reason whatsoever? I have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be afraid of. As God has called you to this ministry, you've got nothing to fear.
God has called every single person in this place to be successful in Him. He's called this church to be successful in the city of Chicago.
Some of us refuse to even take a shot.
You've got the ball, baby. And the opportunity to take the winning shot.
But some of us are afraid to take the shot. To give it a chance. To be successful in God. And all God desires to do is use each and every one of our lives to accomplish His purposes. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and it's about people.
Got to get over our failures. Let go and let God. Let go and let God do what He wants to do. I feel like a failure sometimes. I have to slap myself. Literally, I slap myself. Sometimes I start getting, you know when the pity party starts? But you're mature. See, the pity party can start. That's okay, it can start. Start sometimes. Hello, somebody. Right. But if you're mature, you know how to stop it immediately. If you're mature, you don't let the pity party take you on a walk. Hello, somebody. If you're mature, you look at the pity party and say, I don't think so. I'm called by God. I know what God has called and separated me to do, and nothing that comes my way is going to take me away from that. See, the Bible says in Romans 8, it says, yet in all these things, somebody needs to hear this tonight and get this in your spirit, because yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. For I'm not persuaded, but I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, not powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So if nothing could separate us from the love of God, nothing can take me away from the purpose that God has for my life and for your life and for this church and for your family. So when the seasons and the times and the pity parties come my way, because there are times where I have pity parties, I'm not with my kid, right? Hello, somebody. Sometimes I feel lonely.
Talk about it, brother. Come on now.
Right? I have to remember that yet in all these things, baby, I am more than a conqueror. And nothing can separate me from the love of God. And therefore from God's purpose for my life. I know what God's called me to do. I don't have any fantasies about it. I know what God's called me to do. You know what God's called you to do. Sometimes your failures get in the way of you even seeing the plan that God has for your life. All you can see is the failure. You can't see the purpose.
I'm going to close right now.
30 minutes or less, I delivered that pizza. 29:41.
Let's go.
I'll end with this as we all stand. Amen. I want to talk about, just for a moment, the greatest failure the world was supposed to see. The greatest failure the world was supposed to see. As a matter of fact, the world thought it did see. The world thought it saw. What was supposed to be the greatest failure the world would ever see turned out to be the big upset in the history of humanity. Humanity past, humanity present, and humanity future. I'm talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That was supposed to be the greatest failure the world was ever supposed to see, but God turned it around. Hello, somebody. The devil thought he was watching Jesus Christ be crucified as a public spectacle of humiliation, but how many know tonight that Jesus didn't die on the cross for no reason, that he died with purpose? God turned that failure around, and because of that failure, that upset, we're here today. And not only are we here today, but we're called to greatness for God. There's nothing that I'm trying to tell you, it can be unstoppable. Oh. Oh. Can you imagine if we get that in our spirit? Getting over the past. We have to get over our past. Once we get over the past, once we realize that our failures are nothing more than opportunities for us to achieve the greatness that God has called us to, we become dangerous. We become unstoppable. We become men and women of God that can do anything that God has called us to do. So those of you that haven't let go of past mistakes. Maybe it's a failed marriage. Maybe you've struggled with drugs for too many years. Maybe you've struggled with pornography for too many years. Maybe you've struggled with alcohol for too many years. Whatever it may be, that secret sin that you keep failing in, God wants to set you free. And I'm telling you, I'm living proof. Pastor Doug is living proof. Pastor Manny's living proof that God can set us free. So if you want that tonight, if you want to be over a failed marriage, if you want healing, but you just can't get over it, but you know you got to move on because it's a roadblock. It keeps stopping you from doing what you know God has called you to do. The pain causes you to cease serving God. You're afraid to do anything. There's always an excuse why you, listen, man, when I know God has called me to do something, nothing's going to stop me from doing that. I'm not going to run people over, but I'm going to take people with me. Hello, somebody. And if I ruffle your feathers, I ruffle your feathers. I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. But if I hurt somebody's feelings, I'm sorry, because God has a plan for my life and I'm going to get it. Well, I didn't want to jump in there because, you know, so-and-so, whatever. No, I'm worried about what they were going to. Who cares what people think? My prayers, they do the same thing. Ruffle my feathers. Ruffle them up. Go get yours, right? I'm going to get mine, get yours. Man, let's do it together. We got this. So if you haven't let go of past mistakes and they're keeping you back, and you feel like you're not succeeding in God because maybe you refuse to try to even fail and take a shot, whatever the reason may be, come to the altar.